WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The most anticipated movie of the year may be Avatar, the nearly $300 million epic from writer and director James Cameron. The director of Titanic and The Terminator spent years helping to develop digital 3D camera systems and has used them to create an entirely computer-generated world, Pandora, a lush moon in a nearby solar system. Film critic David Edelstein has returned from Pandora with this review.
As the budget of Avatar grew otherworldly and few saw footage, Hollywood watchers began to speculate that the new, largely computer-generated James Cameron movie would be a Titanic disaster. But they shouldn't have doubted him. That trademark Cameron blend of jaw-dropping technology, grandiosity, and cornball populism is back and mightier than ever. The film is dizzying, enveloping, vertigo-inducing. I ran out of celebratory adjectives an hour into its 161 minutes. Now, it's also on one level a crock, predictable, sentimental, and tin-eared. Cameron has given us a parable that's a barely disguised rewrite of American history. Native Americans, in the form of the blue, 10-foot Navi people of Pandora, a moon of the vast gas planet Polyphemus, battle expertly against white capitalist imperialists who want to drive them from their ancestral lands. The year is 2154, and a Marine named Jake Sully, played by the personable Sam Worthington, works for a military-industrial behemoth that's mining Pandora for a rare mineral called, get this, unobtainium. Jake has his nervous system projected into a remotely controlled Navi body called an avatar for the purposes of mingling with the natives. And it's when he's tall and blue that the film goes into full-scale computer mode. Back in the world of flesh and blood actors, a prickly scientist played by Sigourney Weaver, who totally holds her own against the 10-foot-tall blue thingies, wants Jake to study Navi rituals. She's funded by the company, but has a humanist agenda. But a selfish executive played by Giovanni Ribisi calls the Navi blue monkeys, and since their sacred land sits over a vast supply of unobtainium, he wants Jake to convince the tribe to decamp. Jake has to keep a video diary of his life as an avatar, and as he speaks about trying to learn the Navi language, Cameron cuts to his lessons with the fiery female warrior Neytiri, who under all the computer imagery is modeled on actress Zoe Saldana.
This is video log 12 times 21, 32. Do I have to do this now? Like, I really need to get some rec.
No, now. When it's fresh.
Okay, location, shack. And the days are starting to blur together.
Ondu.
The language is a pain, but, you know, I figure it's like field stripping a weapon. Just repetition, repetition.
Navi.
Nari.
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 Doing it all stronger.
Neytiri calls me Scoun. It means moron.
It's obvious that under the spell of this mystical culture, Jake will go native, and that Avatar will become a fantasy land dances with wolves. Actually, dances with Thanators and Banshees and Dire Horses and Leonopteryxes. But the story would be ho-hum without the spectacle. The problem with computer-generated imagery is it usually doesn't make the final perceptual leap. It's impressive rather than immersive. But Cameron has moved the boundary posts. My press kit mentions, among other inventions, a new image-based facial performance capture, more intricate head rig systems, a simulcam, and an amplified mobility platform suit, or AMP. But Cameron also has old-fashioned compositional savvy. He puts enormous things in the foreground, trees, waterfalls, creatures, and adds layers of texture and movement reaching back into the frame. He creates a living ecosystem, and you and your 3D glasses are there. The technology helps put over the movie's central idea that this world Pandora, with its bioluminescent ground and foliage, is alive and infused with sacred energy. The Na'vi have long waists, reptilian tails, golden eyes, and wide noses. At first, I found them an eyesore, but about halfway through, the humans began to seem puny and pallid by comparison. Jake becomes more attracted to them, too, especially toward the Amazonian Neytiri. He says as an avatar, he's in the true world. It's his human world that's the dream. He says, I don't know who I am. Who he is, of course, is a born-again Indian fighting for the pure and primitive against the poisonous forces of technology, with the help, of course, of state-of-the-art cinematic technology. Clods of dirt fly into our faces. Colors are more colorful. Big beasts bigger and more bestial. Warplanes more terrifyingly warlike. Cameron is said to be an obsessive, even a megalomaniac. But I bow to his titanic will. Now, he's king of a world he made from scratch.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. And you can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hirschfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross,